Welcome to the Small Business Report. I'm Gordon Deal. We examine things like the minds of entrepreneurs, emerging trends, financing, marketing, unique ideas, big business moves that could affect small businesses, even how to get started on your own. Today's stories, where to launch yourself as a freelance writer, the growth in minority-owned small businesses, and managing the hyper-competitive employee at the office. Those stories after this.
In business, risks and rewards come with every decision, like moving to the cloud with Office 365. While its benefits include anywhere access and lower costs, cyber threats and user errors can quickly wipe out data and the money you save. Barracuda Essentials for Office 365 provide an added layer of security and functionality for threat protection, email migration, data recovery, and quality of service. Move securely to Office 365. Visit barracuda.com/essentials to learn more.
The new high-performance Dell Latitude systems are the most secure, manageable, and reliable business-class laptops and two-in-ones so employees can do their best work. Outfitted with the latest Intel Core processors, your team can reduce downtime by 50% and boost productivity with 4 times the performance. Make your work beautiful again at Dell.com/radio. Again, Dell.com/radio. So you want to be a freelance writer for extra income. Story on entrepreneur.com lists a bunch of websites where you can find this kind of work, plus the pros and cons of those sites. It's a story from Shelby Larson, co-owner of a site called Content Divas. From her site, Content Divas, she says, pros, you get a wide diversity of projects on that site so you can build a better resume. The cons, the jobs pay less than you could get freelancing independently if you can find that work. Write Jobs, and that's W-R-I-T-E, writejobs.com. The pros, there's a minimum pay rate of $10 per 500 words, although average pay is much higher. The cons of this site, writers outside the U.S. are disadvantaged by the high number of location-specific gigs. Another site called ProBlogger. The pros here, they have a great list of blogging and telecommuting gigs. The cons, the search filter isn't great, so you have to scan every job to find what you're looking for. Other sites listed in this story, Freelance Writing, All Indie Writers, Writers Department, and a site simply called Freelance Writing Jobs. Well, it's been a busy stretch for entrepreneurs who happen to be minorities. The number of businesses owned by Asian American, Hispanic, and Black women grew faster than almost every other demographic group in the years during and after the recession and created scores of new jobs. Wall Street Journal reporter Kate Davidson has a look at a new report. Kate, give us some of the findings.
You know, we know from the report that businesses owned by white business owners, men and women, declined. But in fact, people, black business owners, Hispanic, Asian American, they actually opened a lot more businesses during that period.
Wow. Any reason for that?
Well, you know, one of the reasons we spoke with Maya Rocky Moore, who's the CEO of the Center for Global Policy Solutions, and she said, and we've heard some other folks suggest this too, that you know, a lot of people, you know, the communities of color were hit especially hard during the downturn. Many of them lost jobs, and for some, this might have been, you know, they might have seen this as just their only kind of their only choice to become either self-employed or to open a new venture. They might have lost their job and not had great employment prospects, and so. That's one reason that's been suggested. Whereas perhaps, you know, white business owners, if their business floundered, they might have been able to find employment or had better prospects of finding some other job doing something else. But that wasn't as easy for people in other communities.
Wow. We're speaking with Wall Street Journal reporter Kate Davidson. Her piece is called As the Economy Floundered, Minority Women Opened Businesses. What types of businesses were they opening? Did it drill down like that?
For example, black women, they opened, there's the percentage change in like the number of firms they had that were owned by black women grew by 20%,
wow.
Which is the fourth highest of any demographic group. But mostly they were opening new businesses in the healthcare industry. Either social assistants or home health assistants. And, you know, the downside of that is that businesses in those industries tend to be low sales. So overall, the sales at businesses owned by black women actually declined because sort of the businesses that were opened were less lucrative than businesses that had existed in prior years. So it's sort of a trade-off there. More businesses, but not necessarily as successful.
All right, so what about this current pace? Anybody weigh in on, you know, can this pace hold up? Because these are some big numbers.
Yeah, you know, that's an excellent question. The report didn't take a guess, but what they are suggesting is, hey, you know, if we do want to see this pace kept up, policymakers should do more to provide tax incentives. You know, for example, one specific recommendation is to provide a new tax credit to promote venture capital investments in businesses owned by people of color. The center that produced the report also, you know, said it would be helpful if there were new mentorship and training programs for minority business owners. And the rationale is that, you know, these numbers demonstrate that there's definitely an interest in entrepreneurship among communities of color. They want to open their own businesses. And so if policymakers were to implement policies that were more supportive of that, it could add a lot to the economy.
Thanks, Kate. Wall Street Journal reporter Kate Davidson. Coming up next, what to do with the employee who has that win-at-all-costs approach to everything. Everyone knows that business is all about numbers. Consider the numbers the state of Michigan can offer your business, like being a top 10 pro-business state, or 2,000, the number of unnecessary regulations Michigan has eliminated in the last 5 years, and 6, Michigan's rank for best entrepreneurial climate, which all adds up to the one state that has all that and more. Michigan. Go to MichiganBusiness.org to learn more. You've probably got one in your office, the hyper-competitive employee who's out to win at all costs. A hyper-competitive type may be welcomed by some bosses, but can set off various reactions in colleagues. Who are these people, and how can they be managed, both by bosses and those who feel intimidated by them? Here's Wall Street Journal writer Sue Schellenbarger. Sue, identify this person.
We're talking here about the person who's really aggressive, a really adversarial, hyper-competitive person who puts his or her own interests above everybody else's, focuses more really on gaining status than on performing well, and can have some pretty sharp elbows if you happen to get in their way.
Right. So as you mentioned, there's kind of a handful of reactions, right, that people can have to these hyper-competitive folks.
There are, and some of them are almost unconscious. You may not really realize that this person really makes you anxious, and that may be because you were conditioned in childhood to, you know, try to avoid intense competition. Other people rise to the occasion and compete in a healthy way. Some people join right in and start swinging punches and doing maybe even twisting the rules a little to get ahead of this person. And still other people just shut down altogether or become very anxious because they really are uneasy around this kind of person.
All right. So I know you put like a little self-check handful of questions together. Explain some of the questions that might help you determine if you're a healthy or hyper-competitive person.
The healthy competitor enjoys competition and sees it as a way of learning, developing skills, learning more about themselves, really. Where the hyper-competitive person, it's a measure of their own worth. They feel more powerful as a person if they win. They compete even when the situation doesn't call for competition. And they're envious if others get awards. They can't stand to lose. They regard people who avoid competition as weak. It becomes a battle of character rather than just a preference. And they'll even bend the rules to get ahead. If they can disturb their opponent in some way to get past them, they will do that. Those are some of the things that distinguish these hyper-competitive people from others.
Mm. We're speaking with Wall Street Journal columnist Sue Schellenbarger. Her piece is entitled, How Do You Survive Office Competition? You say, too, this is partly rooted in genetics?
Well, the research shows that there's a variant of the gene that governs our behavior under stress. The warrior variant makes you regard this as a challenge, and you might go in and fight back. The warrior variant may cause you to become very anxious and regard such people as a threat. And, of course, our reactions to this kind of stress are also conditioned in childhood by, you know, maybe if you have somebody who plays in a healthy, competitive way with you, you learn to enjoy competition.
All right, thanks, Sue. It's Wall Street Journal writer Sue Schellenbarger. Her column, by the way, is called Work and Family. Reminder, by the way, you can get more small business reports on our website, which is thismorningwithgordondeal.com. And we encourage you to leave feedback, too, on whatever podcast platform you use. Maybe you listen, say, on iTunes or SoundCloud. Reviews can help me determine what works and what does not. Also, if you'd like to share thoughts or ideas about your small business, send me an email, gdeal@compassmedianetworks.com. gdeal@compassmedianetworks.com. Stock.com. It's a trade, right? You share some information with us and our listeners, and you get some free publicity all in the same podcast. Thanks for listening to the Small Business Report. I'm Gordon Deal.